Mark Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Well, you notice how Boniface knows how to put the bait, eh? Yeah, he says, you know, no, Uncle Shaf, if they want to listen to the whole Nazm, they have to tune into Yusuf's Naat Ki Raat. Hey, yeah, Suleiman Yusuf's Naat Ki Raat. Ye kaisi raat, ki humko Naat Ki Raat pasand hai. AC Rat. Naat Ki Raat. But forget Naat Ki Raat. It's morning. Morning has broken. And our beloved Adam Kamda has spoken. Will it be fish smoked or fish bride or fish curried? But Adam Kamda is not hurried. He's not worried because the ocean flows in, you know, his veins. And who knows? He knows. Adam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful morning after you hit the seven seas yesterday? Talk to us, Adam.
Wa alaikum salam, and off to sea he's scurried. Yes, we had an amazing day yesterday, Shafad. I fished 2 days in a row. We fished Friday morning and Saturday morning and really had a wonderful time. I took Lionel Crowe out from Sensation Angling. And he is such an expert on artificial lure fishing, Shafad. We've learned so much from him. And sometimes you stand next to him and fish and using the same baits and same technique, same retrieve, but he'll hook the fish and you won't. So, you know, it's mind-boggling to try and learn the finer art of fishing, to try and figure out what is the little edge that he has over everyone else so that he gets the bite and you don't, Shafad.
I tell you that your chummy Vaisi tells me, read your cools and you'll get your pulls. Now, maybe that guy's reading the cools. You don't know in the quiet. You should have asked him, Adam. Hey, my chummy Vaisi reckons, read your cools and you'll get your pulls. But anyway, Adam, you made such a brilliant point. Once you're talking about fishing, you know, the phone aside and this WhatsApp and the Facebook and all, you're not even looking at your phone. The only thing you do in fishing is you cast and you're looking at your line. And you got a touch. Any fishermen, have they evolved with the AI and look at the phone at one hand and they got the rod in the other hand? I don't think they do that. It's such a wholesome and a traditional sport that it has stood the test of time. Even, you know, the cell phone or the hell phone cannot worry it. Talk to me, Adam.
Yes, Shafad, that's a very pertinent point. And the style of fishing that we've been doing lately, because it's summer now and we're targeting summer game fish, like Dorado and tuna and big bonitos, it lends itself to trawling for many hours of the day, Shepard. So trawling is where you set your lures out at the back of the boat and the boat is moving along at about 5 to 7 knots. And in this time, all the lines are set, the work is done. All that's left to do basically is just relax on the boat and enjoy the surroundings and wait for the pull, as you said, Shepard. But having said that, you know, the temptation would be to take out your phone, check whether you still have signal, see who messaged you on WhatsApp, reply to the WhatsApp messages, or share some of the beautiful scenes out at sea, Shafad. But what I learned from Lionel Crowe is that, you know, it's not leisure time. Once the lines are out, it's not leisure time to just drop your guard and just relax. It's actually time to really pay absolute attention to your surroundings, be 200% observant as to what's going on, if there's any surface action, surface movement of bait rising. Sometimes you can spot mass bunkers rising or mackerel or red-eye sardines, or you could see the dolphins out. Or, you know, I was really amazed at Lionel's ability to observe, and he would often look out and point in a certain direction and say, did you see the fin? I said, what fin? And then he'd say, no, that looked like dolphins, or that looked like dorados, or there's tuna feeding there. Or even while we're trawling in a particular direction, Shafad, he'll say, go a little more to the left. There's action there. And you look out to see, and you see absolutely nothing. And I asked Lionel, so how did you learn this? And he grew up on a farm, and he was a game ranger. So his eyes are tuned to looking for every slight movement in the bush when they are spotting game, you know, on land. So he's carried these skills to the sea as well, Shafad. And, you know, he's absolutely observant. And, you know, there's so much that you can learn by fishing with other anglers. Sometimes you do the same things year in and year out, and you get mediocre catches. But when you fish with someone else, and you kind of like, you're always relearning the game and always picking up new tips. And sometimes it's the simplest, easiest thing to do that you've never been doing before that you start to apply because you fished with someone else. And that's what we're learning from anglers like Lionel Crowe, and even Willem Rieder was out with us yesterday, Shabbat.
Now, you made a lot of sense there. Like, I remember that one, you know, Leon Schuster, he had that Hottentot and wang and all that. You know, that Hottentot would smell the ground and tell you, hey, elephant walked here, or there's there, and you can get this bird there, you can catch that there, how to trap this. Now, in other words, your good friend there, he knows the movement of the bushes, and he knows exactly, maybe there's an elephant there, would be careful, there's a tiger or a lion that side. But it seems as if, you know, he knows even each ripple. Is giving you a signal, Adam?
Yes, Shafat. Another thing that was really amazing, I was really observing, you know, how he fishes and what he does. We were out at sea yesterday fishing the number one area, and he absolutely loves this spot to fish. Now, most deep sea anglers go out to number one, they learn the grounds, and then they feel, you know, it's overfished, and then they end up heading north to La Mercy or Belito and really wasting a lot of fuel to get to far fishing grounds. But he loves just fishing here at number one, and I'm relearning this and rekindling, you know, this amazing reef system that's right here off Durban. It's only about 2 miles by boat from the Durban Harbour entrance. And the beauty of this spot, Shafat, is that there's lots of structure at the bottom. On your fish find, you see lots of fish around, and the game fish come to feed on them. Now, most of the charter boats travel out about 15 to 20 miles out looking for Dorado, but you can get them right here at 2 miles out from the harbor entrance, Shabbat.
Now you have to tell me the secret, because Vaizhi, I told him yesterday, I said, you know what, Vaizhi, Adam's gone out. He said, yeah. I said, yeah, he's gone out only to look for Dorados. Be lucky, you know what? If he, that guy, when he catches Dorados, he'll give each of a piece. Okay. But you're giving us a piece of your mind. And tell me, how many Dorados you caught yesterday then?
Oh, Shafad, Dorado, I still have to open my Dorado account. So on Friday morning, we trawled all the way to the ships. We trawled around 2 ships. We didn't have too much of time to fish. We needed to be back at the harbor at around 8, 9 o'clock. So we didn't go too far, but we reached the ships. We trawled there and we trawled back. We managed to get some action on Eastern Little Tuna, which we sometimes call Bonnies or Bonito. Bonito and Eastern Little Tuna are slightly different species, but we've commonly call them Bonnies. So we got action from Bonnies. We got one huge one and the other shoaling Bonnies as well. But no Dorado on Friday. And then yesterday, we trawled a bit over number one, and then we stopped trawling and got drifting over certain spots and fishing Lionel style. And he really managed to get the fish to the boat and lots of action yesterday. But our Dorado account is still not open, although on social media, you know, every day you'd see some boat coming back with Dorados. But, you know, the season is not in full swing yet. You know, it's really in full swing when you go out there and you don't even know what you're doing. You put your lures out and the Dorado just jump on your lure. So I think maybe first week in December will be my lucky week, Shepard.
Inshallah, you will have the lucky week. Looking at a message on the screen. Mahmoud says, Assalamu alaikum. I live in North Coast, Phoenix, RSA. I've been offered a boat which is 25 years old, but it is a ski boat, very clean and very neat. I want to know from Adam Kamda, is there a lifespan on boats? I don't want to be like a Skoda taxi that's in the ocean and everyone's laughing at my boat. Adam, how do you respond to Mahmoud?
Yes, Shafat, it all depends on the maintenance. You know, boat maintenance is very, very important, because when you're out at sea, you can imagine yourself as being out in outer space on a spaceship. You know, you're totally self-contained, you're far away from land, and you need to be able to trust its reliability to get you back. So as you launch from the harbor and you go far out to sea, you know, you need to be self-sufficient and be able to, survive out there and even come back even in stormy weather, Shafat. So boats generally have quite a long lifespan. As I said, if they're maintained well, that means, removed from the water and you do anti-fouling, make sure your buoyancy is in order. But the most critical thing, Shafat, is the health of the motors. You know, the motors tend to wear out a lot faster. And even with the motors, you know, follow your service plan and keep your batteries fully charged, and you can enjoy many years of good motoring. I'll give you an example. My yacht Bonita is a 1980 model. That makes it like 42 years old already. But you can step aboard her, just turn the key, and the engine swings into action instantly. And when we're out there, Shafat, it's as if we are on a newborn boat. It's the boat sails beautifully, it handles beautifully, at utmost reliability, and we really feel, you know, comfortable and safe going out to sea and coming back, you know, reliably, Shafat.
Now, in your case, Adam, you are very meticulous. You like cleanliness, and I know you don't like things out of place. Even your kitchen when you're cooking, you like me. Hey, we don't like to see that oil there, or even the rice, you know, the sludge come. We wash it there and then. And that's why your boat, your yacht, and your all your equipment is ship-shape and well taken care of. I mean, as you said, age, whether it's 42 or whether it's even 3 years old, a three-year-old maybe boat, if it's not maintained properly, is ready for the scrapyard, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, that's a very pertinent point. And salt water will get into anything and corrode anything. And in the shop, we often get customers who come back with a reel that is purchased. He says, this reel is only 3 months old. I only used it once, and now it's gone tight. Meanwhile, he took it out to the surf. It got splashed with salt water. He brought it home and just dumped it in his garage. He didn't rinse the salt water off. He didn't maintain it. And that salt gets in everywhere and corrodes the bearings in the reel, Shafat. So they feel, you know what, this product is deficient. It's poor quality because I've got other reels that last many, many years. But it's all down to maintenance, Shafat. And that goes the same with boats. Maintain your motors. Keep your hull clean. You get many years of use out of your boat and motors and safe boating and motoring, Shafat.
Absolutely, Adam. And, you know, it's that time of the season where, you know, children go on school holidays, and, you know, you're involved in with your community in your part of the world where, you know, the youngsters will be coming to you. I mean, you're like a go-to man. And one of the alternatives is to bring them towards the fishing and to keep them on the straight and narrow. A few other suggestions from you. You know, fishing is a great point to start from, Adam.
Yes, Shafat. You know, there are a lot of groups that are moving in this direction. I've had quite a few clubs approach me at the shop to say that, you know what, we are trying to introduce youngsters to fishing, and this way it gives them a productive hobby and keeps them off the streets. It keeps them away from drugs. And I'm really all for that, Shafat. We help out wherever we can. You know, we try and sponsor some rods or even give discounts, you know, when they are purchasing to set these kids up, Shafat.
Yeah, you know, next time when you're having a workshop and, you know, if you want to have a motivational speaker, your good friend, you know, his name is Ismail Sudhir, the retired journalist. Whenever I mention his name on, you know, our show, hey, he blushes. He'll always text back. You mentioned me. I said, hey, Adam and I talk of you quite often. And I mean, you as an individual, that we should be embracing and celebrating that travels the Amazon River, man, from the top right to the bottom, right to the mouth where the two, you know, those river mouth met with the sea. I mean, I'm sure he shared all that history with you, Adam.
Yes, Shafat. Ismail is such an interesting personality. It was an honor to have him on board my boat, and we went out to sea, enjoyed a lovely morning out sailing. And he's full of stories, Shafat, and what a master at, you know, in terms of writing articles, etc. Very eloquent, and he's got so much of skill. So I'm sure he still has a lot to offer, you know, to our groups, our fishing groups, and even travel groups, even though he's retired, but he's got lots of skills as a journalist, Shafat.
Absolutely. Yes, you heard that. Yes, Ismail. Yeah. Even I don't know if you met Farooq Khan, who was also a mentor of, you know, Ismail Sudhir, and someone that I, you know, loved and got very close to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. Did you have the opportunity of meeting Farooq Khan, Rahimullah?
Not really, Shafat, but the one personality that really stands out that made a huge difference in my life was Idris Kamisa, Shafat. He was my English teacher in high school.
Wow.
And I was I hated the languages from a young age. English and Afrikaans wasn't really my favorites, but He was such an amazing personality. So full of fun. He's so witty. I think that's what really made me, open my eyes and take, closely to the languages and to understand the wit and humor. And, you know, he really brought the languages alive and he even developed a love for reading after being taught by Idris Kamil Tashabar.
Okay, I'm going to talk to Idris now. Hey, you heard that, Idris? Brazo! It says Adam loves you, Brazo. Yeah, he simply, I like it too. But I'll tell you something about Idris Kamisa and, in my broadcasting career, why he made such an indelible impression. There was my station manager and he called Idris Kamisa to do an educational program, on motivating the Ummah and all that. So he says, who would you like must host you? Maybe you just don't want to talk, but you want someone to host you and question you. And guess what happened, Adam? Without hesitation, he told the station manager, I want Shafaat Ahmad Khan. The manager phoned me, says, do you know Idris Kamisa? I said, yeah, I mean, we be on talking terms. He said, well, I gave him 10 names, and he just chose one name. That makes an indelible impression, Idris. And, that is a true brother. Behind your back, you get to know who does what for you. And that's why I simply love that man. And he's a man that, he speaks the truth. And sometimes when you speak the truth, you don't have many friends, Adam. your thoughts?
Yes, Shafaat. I think he can recognize good skills and good character as well. And you're so easy to talk to. That's why I'm not trained a radio speaker, but I can just pour my heart out when I chat to you. I think you have this effect on people. So it was a natural choice and a perfect choice of art for Idris to choose you.
And who chose you? Who chose you, Adam?
Shafaat chose me as a guest on air. And I actually really enjoy these sessions, Shafaat. I look forward to it every Sunday morning.
I started you on small dosage, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And now you can talk 24 hours with me and we can have our own station. This is our fishing channel with Shafaat Ahmad Khan and Adam Kamda. We're broadcasting 24/7. Adam, we can do that, but alhamdulillah, we need to do many other things. As I see another question on the screen, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamda. What about those people that invest in a yacht and travel the world? Have they got a life? I don't know how to answer that, Adam. I'm sure they've got a life. How do you answer that?
Wow, Shafaat, there's so many sailors that own yachts and their dream is to sail around the world. And, it's such an amazing thing to do. A lot of people end up planning, and they never really get to untie those ropes and sail away. It's a huge step, Shafaat. Then you have to really be so self-sufficient. Once you're out at sea and you're doing an ocean crossing, you have to be your own chef, you have to be your own plumber, you have to be your own electrician. You can't just pick up the phone and say, my chart plotter is not working, please send a technician over. You have to be able to do everything. You even have to be a doctor, Shafaat, because if you have an accident out at sea, if you break a limb or if you get a deep cut, you need to be able to dress it yourself and really nurse yourself. So usually people who travel the world by yacht do it with a crew of about 4 to 6 people. But there's another breed of sailor, Shafaat, that sails solo. And this is even more difficult because you are steering the ship, you are setting the sails, you're cooking your food, you are cleaning, you are maintaining, you're doing everything a single person on board. And it's not just the physical aspect, Shafaat, it's even the mental. Because when you go through storms and things, there's no one to look to and for comfort and you're in this together. You're in it alone, just you, yourself and your maker, Shafaat. So it ends up being a very spiritual journey as well because you're constantly thanking your maker, you're constantly pleading to him for your safety, you're constantly, acknowledging his presence. So even when we go out on our small scale, Shafaat, when we go out for an entire day at sea, it's really a very spiritual experience. You ask your maker for what you want, whether you want to get good fish or if the weather turns, you're asking for good weather, you're asking for a safe return, Shafaat. So sailing around the world is not for everyone, but those who actually get to do it, they are really living their lives, Shafaat. They've broken away from the rat race and they've been able to live their dreams. And I really look up to those kind of people.
You know, you summarize that so beautifully. As you said, you get closer to your creator, your maker, you're all alone. And anyone that's sailing, let a storm come. Then they start calling upon Allah. And save me, Allah. I will do this. I will give my zakat. I will give my lillah. Oh, I'll read another 10 Yasin Sharifs and so forth. But that's a fact. Even an atheist, when he's about to hit the bottom of the ocean, he calls out, my God, save me, Adam.
Yes, Shafaat, you know, it's usually in times of peril when you look up to your maker, but what we get out of sailing and fishing and being at sea, Shafaat, is other opportunities to thank our maker, not only to think of him, you know, when you are in dire need and you want him to save you, but just to acknowledge him and to just, you know, the beauty out at sea is so magnanimous, everything is so bountiful, the scale of the sea, the scale of the sky, the scale of the number of fish in the ocean, huge shoals coming, rising up, and huge whales breaching, huge ships passing you. Everything is of such a magnanimous scale. So we look for every opportunity to acknowledge our maker, you know, more in thanks than waiting for those days of peril and then just asking for forgiveness and please forgive our sins and return us back to our families to land, Shafaat.
Absolutely, and I'm a reminder of a prose now. I want to go down to the seas again, the lonely seas and skies, and all I ask is a lovely ship and Adam Kamda to skipper her by. You like that, Adam?
That's amazing, Shafaa. Just talking about skills and skippering a ship, I just want to share with you some more information that I learned from Lionel Crowe yesterday, Shafaa. So we were out at number one, which is like about, say, between 2 and 4 miles from the shore. It's quite a large reef area. And usually you can see landmarks. You can see the stadium. You can see the bluff area. And you have your bearings quite easily. But yesterday we fished in the rain. So as it rained around us, you know, all landmarks disappear. And Lionel, without even looking at the GPS plotter or being able to see landmarks, he would be able to point out, you know, move further that way and, you know, there's fish there or there's reef there or whatever. And I was totally amazed. The only thing he had to go by was basically the direction of the swell and the direction of the wind. And he could make out whether we were going north or south or east or west and even, you know, really which part of the of the reef we were on. So, you know, that's, and if you want to basically experience all the Shafaat, he had a GoPro with him and he filmed quite a lot of the trip and he's put together a video of about 19 minutes. And there you see the action that we had at sea yesterday, Shafaat. And even Willem Reeder is a blogger and he also filmed it, so he hasn't published his video yet. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. But if you go to YouTube and search for Fishing Durban, or later, you can search for WR Fishing. Both those pages will have videos of yesterday's fishing, Shafaat.
So, alhamdulillah, yes, I'll get a bird's eye view of everything, what happened. And brilliant indeed, Adam. And jazakallah khair for sharing that. And also, I'm wondering, you know, you have so many friends that you know, are mutual friends, one of them being Butch. You know, Butch, a very colorful character indeed. And he talks very warmly about you whenever he talks about, hey, but Chaff, you and Adam got a lovely rapport. I said, yeah, I know. He's like, Chaff, man, you must come with me. We'll go and meet Adam. I said, yes, we'll do that. You know, our schedules are different. And you know how busy we are. Then you got your other cousin, Hashim Jamal. And he too, such a cool guy. But both him and Butch, hey, they're like inseparable. And both have a link to you, Adam.
Yes, Shafaat, lovely characters, both of them. And we all share a passion for the ocean. I actually, some of my early sailing memories are with Hashim Jamal on his boat called Scallywag. It was a 19-foot vivacity, which we used to sail around the harbor. And then when I got Bonita, then Butch and Hashim used to join me quite often sailing Bonita, either in the harbor or out to sea. So we've had lots of bonding moments and really do share passion for the ocean, Shafaat.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about Butch Cassidy and all that. But anyway, Adam, Gigi Foy is shouting in my ear to say, recipe, recipe. All right, Adam, what you got for Gigi Foy in the listeners this morning? What's your recipe?
Yeah. Yes, Shafaat, I'm going to share with you the easiest fish recipe possible. The secret of this is the freshness of the fish. So try and catch a fresh mackerel straight from the sea. It's a very delicate fish, so you don't need to overspice it. So you get your mackerel, you cut the fins off, you gut it, and then you fillet it, chafat, and you debone it completely, so you have just full fillets with no bones in it at all. For the marinade, you use a bit of olive oil, some chili powder, some salt, and some crushed garlic, and that's it. You mix it all up together. You baste it. You basically baste it onto the fillets on both sides, and you refrigerate it overnight. Let the marinade soak in nicely. Then, when you're ready to cook, you remove it from the fridge, let it stand for about an hour to return to room temperature. Place it in a baking tray and bake it for about 20 minutes on 180 degrees Shafat. And this you serve with some nice creamy mashed potato and some boiled asparagus that's sautéed in garlic butter.
Hey, that's a winner. That's a healthy winner, I tell you. And inshallah, you know what? If you make it the way Adam told you, you will savor the flavor. Your parting words this morning, Adam?
Yes, Shafat. I'd just like to encourage everyone to get onto YouTube and search for Fishing Durban. That's Durban spelled DBN, so Fishing DBN. You'll find Lionel's video there. And later, check on WR Fishing also on YouTube. Willem will surely post today, Shafat. Thanks for a lovely show. Salams to you and the listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our Adam Kamda. Beautiful, bringing the ocean alive, giving us so much of information that, you know what, it's such a refreshing, refreshing morning with him.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.